Okay. All right. Welcome, everyone, to the South Jordan Planning Commission meeting. This is Tuesday, April 11th, 2023. We have all of our commissioners present, as well as representation from our city staff. Our first motion, or our first item of business this evening, is to approve our agenda as published. Do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move to approve this evening's agenda as published.
Thank you. Any discussion? All right. I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Our next item is to approve our minutes from our meeting 2 weeks ago. I assume everyone's had an opportunity to review, submit changes. Then I think we're ready for a motion.
I'll move that we approve the minutes from the March 28, 2023 Planning Commission meeting.
Okay. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And Ms. Valdez, oh, she's not here. I assume she's the one who prepared them, and I went through them quite thoroughly just because of the content last time, and she did a great job. If you'd pass that along. All right, staff, business for us this evening.
I'm going to be seen to work, so I'm just going to talk about it. The only thing I wanted to say is that we have a new staff member that is going to present tonight. The first item, his name is Jake Link, and he's our planning commission. Since he discovered the need for the condition instrument by reviewing a building permit plan for this applicant. The applicant is relocating, and since he's relocating from one side to another side in South Georgia, he's required to have a condition instrument. So. The applicant doesn't seem to be here tonight, but maybe because there's a little bit of English would be his second language, and it's probably hard to explain to him that he should be here.
Okay.
It was hard to explain to him that he actually had to have this conditional use permit because his first location in South Jordan about 15 years ago, or maybe it was 10 years ago, or maybe it was like that, didn't require it then. So I didn't have to get this the last time, you know, and things have changed. So anyway, I just wanted to introduce Jake, and so he'll know. And I put it on there that he'll be.
Thank you.
And he doesn't have a nameplate yet. So
all right. He'll get one. Welcome, Jake. Is this because somebody has left that we're unaware of? Or?
In a way, yes. The previous planning technician person we had was Jed Ricks. But he retired, and he mainly did only permits and so forth, but we kind of changed the job duties. And so Jake will do mostly permit applications and things and inspections. But once in a while, like for this application, we had him go through the process, write the staff report, and do everything. Just like he has a degree in planning, so
okay. So all right. Well, we look forward to working with you. Any other staff business this evening? All right, commissioners. Let's start with Steve's report on City Council last week.
Yeah. So the in the study meeting, a couple of things to note. One, they were talking about the communication team here at South Jordan, and they're very, very engaged, very enthusiastic, and willing to help communicate. And that was seen and very supportive. They also had a conversation around the fairgrounds in Utah State and some of the future plans. So they presented a concept plan, which I couldn't necessarily see because I was listening to the meeting afterwards. But the general feel is there, the council was enthusiastic about those plans.
Did they talk about the new Marv Jensen Center at all?
Not that I heard.
Okay.
In the council meeting, one of the council members talked about some outreach to them from citizens around something we were recently talking about, which is the online accommodation marketplaces. Those are the ones we see as Airbnb, Vrbo, short-term rentals. And The suggestion there was to reach out to communications to make sure that everyone understands what's allowed and not allowed. And that might be a good way to present that in newsletters and other things. Just so that everyone starts with a solid understanding. There was no talk of a specific changes to code in that conversation. Then one thing I thought was pretty funny is South Jordan is no often sometimes we call it Sojo, and with the snow, and it's someone called it Snowjo.
Mayor Ramsey put it on Facebook this morning.
She put that. That was great. So the then there were some conversations around water reclamation or recycled water, and that's moving forward. And that's moving forward to support the growth and sustainability of drinkable water inside South Jordan. And then the other big item is the budget. The budget's kicked off. The budget process kicked off, and there's expected to be a public hearing in May, the first meeting in May, where citizens can provide input on that. And prior to that, there should be published materials that will highlight the changes and differences to the budget.
Okay.
Those are the main items.
Thank you. Are you good to go next week, Mr. Darby? I think I had you down. I think I get the one in May, sounds like. So, all right, thank you. Any other items from the Planning Commission tonight?
Yeah, thank you for attending ARC while I was on vacation. I appreciate that.
I'm at the Fulmer Center, by the way. Sorry. The ARC meeting talked about the plans for a new Fulmer Center on those grounds.
I didn't hear any detailed conversations around that. They talked about how they're, you know, the racetrack and polo grounds and things like that.
All right. Anything from this side? All right, let's get to it then. Under our administrative public hearings tonight, we've got one, the conditional use permit for a restaurant use in the commercial community zone. And Jake has our staff report.
Thanks. So the Rice King CUP, it's a Chinese restaurant located at 3649 West South Jordan Parkway, Unit 106. Which is currently zoned commercial community, hence why they need a conditional use permit. In the building, there's already a Subway located, and there's previously been a Yogurt Vibes located, so it's not like this area isn't used to having these restaurants around. These other places were approved before 2016 when the ordinance the new ordinance made restaurants a conditional use. So there's no CUP for the building as it stands. On the issue of parking, there's only 8 seats inside of the restaurant, or proposed to be inside of the restaurant. And as you can see, the existing parking lot is definitely adequate for what it would need. And yeah, that's about it.
Do you know how many seats the previous location had?
I do not know.
Okay.
It might have been 10 or 12. It was pretty small.
Okay. I just wondered if this move had impacted what type of business model they were using. Sounds like maybe not.
Pretty similar.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't imagine.
Okay. Questions for staff?
And I just want to ask clarification, I guess. So the legislative item we're hearing tonight, if that's adopted from City Council, this would make this type of item before us no longer applicable. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. If there are no other questions, I'll open up this item to public comment. Anybody who's joined us in our auditorium or online will now have the opportunity to address the commission. You'll have 3 minutes. We just ask that you state your name and where you reside for the records. Does anybody in here want to speak to this? Okay, online, same question, Mr. German and Ms. Bowne. Okay, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners? Okay, I think this one is straightforward. I guess I actually do have one more question. Did City Council ultimately approved the Peterson condos in this same development? I know I should know that.
Yes, yes, they did. And David's familiar with all of that. I'm sure it was his project. Yes, they did approve.
Okay. At the 8 units per acre density, or did they end up with more?
I think it wound up being 20 units, if I remember correctly.
Cool.
But it's all part of the development agreement, and I think they just recently submitted a site plan application, so you'll be seeing that in the near future.
Okay.
But the 20 units, what was the density with 20 units?
I think, again, it went back to how it was figured. If it's based on the actual property area, which encroaches into the existing parking lot, then I think it's around 8. If you just include the part that's not developed, you could probably consider it closer to 10.
Okay. Were there any residents noticed with this item?
No. Oh, sorry. No residents, just surrounding businesses.
Okay.
And jurisdictions.
What is the notice distance?
300 feet.
300. So this says it's 200 feet to the nearest residential land use boundary. So there was nobody?
I think the residents to the south, there's a few that along that road, the road got notices.
Yeah. Okay. That.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah, they were I believe I did not the noticing, but I got the mailing labels.
Right, yeah.
It out so for him because he didn't have access to that program on his on the computer. So I did it, and I did notice that there was about, I don't know, 6 or 8 of those right there along the back up to the shopping center that got noticed.
Okay.
Across the street was more than 300 feet.
Great. All right, commissioners, questions? Any discussion? Will you relay to the applicant that we're glad he was able to find another location in the city? And okay, I think
we will definitely do that, and he'll be happy if you vote to approve it. He'll
I guess
be
we should
happy.
Do that first. All right, commissioners, I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit, file number PLCUP 2023-00047, without conditions, based on the finding and conclusions listed in this report.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Darby. We have a motion. Any discussion? Okay, then I will second that motion and ask Ms. Kristen Crixton for a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
Chair Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
And Commissioner Starks?
Yes.
Okay, this item passes 6-0. I will now repeat, will you please let the applicant know that we're pleased he was able to find another location in the city and that he's keeping his business here.
Yes, great. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, now we're going to move into our legislative public hearings. For the record, note that this body only makes a recommendation on items like this to City Council and that they'll have the ultimate decision making for this particular item. Mr. Mann has our one item under this section, which is the CUP Utilities Text Amendment.
Okay, so this is a text amendment that's been considered and thought about for the past few years, stemming back to the conditional use permit application that was associated with the Rocky Mountain Power Transmission Line that was upgraded. And for those that either attended the meetings or were familiar with that, there was a lot of backlash from the residents with concerns about how it would impact the neighbors that are right below there. And so there was a lot of analysis and review of the plans as well as communication with the applicant to make sure that those concerns were addressed and potentially added as part of a conditional use. But I think it did open up an opportunity to have a discussion. Stephen Schaefer-Meyer did ask me to kind of have a discussion with the commission regarding conditional uses. I know many of you have been on the commission for a while and have seen a lot of conditional uses come forward. Some have been relatively easy to review, others have been much more challenging and required tabling items and things like that. So with this proposed text amendment, we're looking at the uses table that's in chapter 17.18 regarding public utility uses and the restaurant uses within the commercial zones as listed in the report. So I did attach the some information from the Rocky Mountain Power application for review for those that are familiar with it or those that are unfamiliar to have an opportunity to look at that history. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. We were informed that there's still some discussion happening between the city and Rocky Mountain Power at this time. So the intent right now is to have this discussion. We don't have a timetable at this time as far as when it would go to the city council for ultimately reviewing and possibly approving it. But like I said, we can have this discussion here, and you feel free to ask any questions or think about anything that is associated with conditional uses in our code. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Commissioners, questions?
Yes, sorry, I'm just pulling up the chart of all the uses that require permits or are permitted or conditional use. And so I see restaurant on here. Would that, I guess, include any business that sells a food product? Or is it like a restaurant defined as something that has seating inside the premise? What's the definition of a restaurant?
Typically, there'd be seating involved. And like I said in the report, it is separate from a review of a drive-through, even if that's an accessory use to a restaurant or to any other type of commercial business. The drive-through is considered separately, so that would always be labeled as conditional use, and I think we've seen plenty of examples where that does warrant some further discussion.
Great.
So I do have some questions, but I think I'm inclined to do public comment first to have it done. So I'm going to open up this item to public comment. If anybody in this room would like, as a public citizen, to comment on this item, we invite you to do so at this time. All right, I'm not seeing any takers, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. So I do know that the Rocky Mountain Power item was just before I joined. I received the grandma request, so I was aware that it was ongoing, but I didn't hear or vote on the item, so I know that everybody's new to that. And it does sound like it was an unnecessary item just because it was going to happen. It was within the easements. I reviewed the notes, and I did appreciate those being included. But there's one item I wanted to discuss. I know we want to save time. We want to especially save citizens' aggravation when things are legally allowed and they are given this, I guess, perception that potentially they can change if they come in numbers. But there was a communication tower, and that's been included in some of these revisions in the Jordan Ridge Park, probably about 15 years ago. I should probably look at you. That was probably the first time I came to a city council meeting in South Jordan. Whoever got noticed, let the neighborhood know we showed up. They wanted an enormous tower that they were going to sublet out different layers to different companies. I don't know enough about the history to know if the public turnout that happened was what changed that, but ultimately, we didn't have to give up the basketball court. We didn't have to make exceptions to the offset rules, and ultimately something significantly smaller went in. And so I guess I've seen a process where I feel like there was an overreach on a company, or I don't know if it's an individual salesperson, but that giving the public an opportunity to weigh in did have an impact.
Probably, I think maybe at that time also, our code probably got changed to where now there's a specific limit to how tall the towers can be at 100 feet. And that probably will never change. And if they're going to want 100 feet, they're going to get 100 feet from now on, because there's been a lot more
Federal regulations have been passed
sure.
in that time too. That were the cities and we can't. It's harder for us to limit those kind of things because it's a necessity. If you don't, everyone has a cell phone. So guess what? They're all going to be a lot more towers and a lot more going. But we have been able to, and then also we can limit the height. But they are allowed to increase the height of them by I think what is it? Do you remember, David? It's like 10% each
yeah.
time they want. So far, I don't think we've had anybody come in want to do that. They just continually add more antennas to the existing tower. And then by that time, eventually, it gets to a note they have to actually maybe build another tower
mm-hmm.
closer by in someplace else. And we do still have the space, the area limitation, how close you can build them to each other. But that's true. That's what spurred all of that was probably the conversations we had at the meetings regarding that taller tower. So, but again, I mean that's if it's a site plan, it still comes forward to here to the Planning Commission for review, and there's a public hearing on that. But again, in a site plan, if it's not listed as a conditional use, it doesn't,
we don't have the opportunity
to
to
recognize it, and technically that night it's probably it was just it wasn't, there was no detrimental effect of having the taller tower, and so I'm surprised it got approved, because what's the detrimental effect of having a tall tower? It just depends on
it was so tall it couldn't meet the offset requirements from residential properties, and so they were asking for an exception.
And then in that case, I think the current code, if they try to do it again, of course we'd have the code that it's built into the code where they can't do that. They wouldn't even be able to ask for ask the commission or the council. They'd have to ask for a variance, and I'm pretty sure that's some sort of hardship to do that. And things. So
a variance would a variance still come before a body that would allow a public hearing?
No, the variance goes to our hearing officer, and I don't know if there's a public hearing is advertised for those.
This is one of those things where it went up to the Congress of the United States, and they enacted what's called the Spectrum Act, and this is especially applicable to cell phone towers. And they basically, the industry convinced Congress that local entities were taking too much time and were giving them too hard of a time in especially allowing the co-location, which you mentioned, the co-location of many different arrays on the tower. This is all language I've learned since I started working in the city in the last couple of years and just read and reread. So finally, as the city's hands were tied more and more, as it indicates here and here on 1704-240-A8, communication towers, that was taken right out of even city council's hands. And that's the city council enacted the ordinance that says that'll be decided by staff, because this is so specialized and so heavily regulated that those towers are going to be, the applications are going to have to be decided by staff. And you've got to do it within 90 days or it's automatically granted, and all sorts of regulations. For example, I recently read the latest FCC rulings interpreting part of the statute. Mm-hmm. The ruling was 45 pages long, single space, small print, in coming to a decision. So I think in general, this whole thing goes back to what we discussed at the joint meeting, a month or two ago, that there's some areas, and I think that the idea is that these large utilities, there's just some areas that if we do a conditional use permit on them, we're just kind of deceiving people as if we have the ability at this point to come and let a democratic process stop the thing. And it's just not going to happen.
So I know that you'll give your opinion. Do you feel like these categories that have been outlined in this amendment are appropriate and all represent areas that are defined to what extent they can be in our ordinances and so are appropriate to, I guess, cease having the public hearings on?
I think the ones before you tonight are.
Okay.
I think that you should expect and perhaps participate in and encourage the process in choosing ones that you don't want to see anymore or the ones that you really still want to continue seeing.
Commissioners, additional questions or comments? This didn't give anybody else any heartburn at all. Like, I just love long meetings. Okay.
Does it give me heartburn? I think what has been highlighted, there are certainly a lot of areas, but like in case of utilities, they are highly regulated. Noise, harmful effects, they're well known in many cases around the nation. A lot of the problems that surface from proximity of utilities to adjacent uses or zones or anything related to development are pretty well known, and I think with well-functioning, you know, an excellent staff and a well-functioning city council, anything that pops up will get addressed in code and through there. And I just don't know what detrimental effects we might find that wouldn't already be covered.
Would these all apply to where easements exist? That's the part I was not clear on. Or can a city staffer effectively eminent domain as they see fit or as Rocky Mountain Power or whatever other utility sees fit?
So a couple things to be aware of. So in that section where it has specific things that are crossed off, whether it's for utilities reaching a certain level mm-hmm. with a bunch of technical measurements, it does say at the very top that the city engineer may approve. So the city engineer is a professional that would be familiar with what is necessary in conversation with the utility companies to make sure that, one, it's suitable, that it meets the federal guidelines, any state guidelines. There are also separate chapters dealing with wireless facilities and wind facilities that have specific guidelines laid out for staff to review with those type of applications. And so with all that and with easements, if it's something where the utility company did need to enlarge an easement, they would have to go through that same process to purchase the property according to, you know, the law and to reimburse the residents, you know, based on those laws.
Okay. I think I should have one other minor question. There was something about the percentage of an area that could be restaurant zone. I was just wondering if you could comment on that. It was 20% in a PO zone.
I'm not sure where. I didn't dig too far into that as to why a specific percentage in the office zones. I don't know if there was concern about restaurants taking over office zones and limiting offices being able to be built. But if you look at the CC zone, offices are permitted use there. So offices or restaurants mm-hmm. could be built there without any conditional use, but in the office zone, for some reason, conditional uses are applied to restaurants. So I think it's something where we've seen enough examples and have seen very limited concerns as far as restaurant uses solely as to warrant that additional review with a conditional use.
Okay. All right. Commissioners. That's it. All right. Any discussion? If not, I think we are ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Please.
I move that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council that it approve the proposed text amendment based upon the staff presentation report and our discussion this evening.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay, I will second that motion and ask for a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Chair Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
And Commissioner Starks?
Yes.
Okay. We will pass on a 6-0 favorable recommendation to the City Council to review that item. Will that be in their next meeting? Or two meetings from now?
The text amendment? Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's something that we're kind of holding off to take to City Council at this time because there's still ongoing discussions between the city and Rocky Mountain Power regarding that project. So once that's finalized completely, then we can move forward with that. And if there are any changes that would need to be made to this amendment, it would come before you again.
Okay.
So just want to follow up on that. So how long would our recommendation last? Well, say this discussion goes on till the end of our current, I guess, term, the end of the year. Does that ever expire, or is that just...
That's an interesting question.
...held open until you guys feel good at presenting it, and maybe all six of us are no longer on the commission? I'm just, how long this would be good for what we just approved or recommended for approval?
Everybody's looking at me.
We like looking at
all of us are.
And it's a great question, and I just don't know the answer right off.
I suppose they would know which commission made it, should it come to that.
I mean, just with that additional statement, it would make sense that we could put in a time frame or something. I mean, I just don't want it to be open-ended because this original Rocky Mountain Power is back to, 2018, 2019? And so I'm just worried that, 5-6 years, hopefully you guys are still all serving on the Planning Commission, but I'll be retired by then.
Yeah, I'm not sure that there's an expiration date on recommendations, but I know that there's a conditional use permit for the substation for a new substation that it will be coming to you. Maybe. I don't know how that would affect if the council before it gets to you, before the site plan and conditional use permit gets to you, if they I don't know what it, Greg, what about that? What if they pass an ordinance?
So based on just, I would like, well, we've already had a vote, so.
But you can make a motion.
I would like to make a motion that we add a.
Addendum?
An addendum to the previous item that states that, we're going to open the motion here. That file number PLZTA20230054 is valid until.
End of the year.
December 31st, 2023, the end of the current Planning Commission year.
Do you want to recommend that it be heard by a new Planning Commission after that point for an updated?
Yeah, because things, completely change. Yeah.
Can I comment on that?
Sure.
Just like I didn't know the answer to your previous question, I also don't know if you have the right to cause your recommendation to expire by a certain date. I don't know the answer to that.
I will just say I've made a motion. I'll withdraw it, but it's now in the recording and hopefully in the minutes, and so the City Council can review what I have stated.
Is that good? Think it is something. It gives an opportunity for us to research something, so I appreciate that. You're always thinking outside the box, so that's always good. I think staff would probably feel uncomfortable if there's been 6 months to a year between your recommendation and considering taking to City Council, that we might look into that before we proceed with City Council.
I assume you'd tell City Council when we heard it. You would, like you did here, provide historical
right
context.
And they might also, if let's say after 6 months we take it to City Council, they might say, well, maybe we should take it back, you know, in case anything's changed or, you know, before they make a decision. So
and there's something driving this one, a substation or something. So there's, yeah. You know, if it made it to the end of the year, we give most people this building, was it building permits or whatever, a year?
Conditional use, yeah.
You know, we give them a year and an optional 1 year extension. So I think there's a very, very good chance this is handled within 1 to 2 years.
Yeah, just the concern if it, you know, in 2028, 29, it's still a recommendation from a planning commission that's no longer seated. That's just my one concern.
Mm-hmm. We'll come for you. 7 years from now.
I'll be on a beach somewhere.
All right. I think that's everything this evening. Staff, any other business for us this evening? I'm going to beat Nathan to his question. What's our next meeting looking like?
The next meeting currently has two items on there, so I can't remember exactly what they are. I think one of them may be a – none of them are daybreak, so the I think one is a subdivision. I think the Rise subdivision.
Our favorite subdivision.
Yeah, so I think that will be coming forward. That's one. I can't remember what the other one is. So there's two items currently.
I don't think Ms. Bevins and I reported to the commission. After our training session, we stayed for City Council, and they made a motion to rehear the Rise development and essentially had the full conversation and then declined to rehear it. So that's something they've been hearing a lot about, too.
Yep. And so, yeah, that's all I know about what on the next agenda. So, but two items is seems to be a pattern. This is that'll be the third time in a row for two items, but I imagine the Rise subdivision will take a little longer than tonight.
I thought we just had one last week. One really long one.
We had one.
Was it
just one?
Was it just one?
Just one.
It was just one. It felt like two.
It was
oh, it felt like two,
four.
Where's Sagewood at? Do we know where they're at?
I
it
didn't seem like it was that.
What did I see recently on that? I don't think they've submitted any application for something new there, but I've heard them talking about it. I heard some talk about it, but I don't recall a new application coming in for any review. This the most recent thing that I talked to was somebody who wants to change their address in the Bison Run Phase 1 subdivision that was on this property, so they wanted to change an address, and then I looked up on. And I was looking up, see their lot, when I did that, I didn't come across anything else but the Bison Run subdivision. So.
Okay.
All right, commissioners, any items?
I will be in Ukraine for our next meeting.
All right.
So I will not be here, which I apologize for, but look forward to hearing how that goes. My apologies for my absences. We've been in D.C. and had a lot of travel going on, and there's been a lot going on as we've moved into the spring season, but just keep an open line of communication, let you know
okay.
that I'm not going to bed early. I'm, in fact, busy, so thank you.
All right. Anything else? All right. I'm going to make a motion that we adjourn then.
Second.
Oh. All in favor?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Any opposed? Didn't think so.